I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
We have animals here. It's the animal show around here. This one looks like it's going to bark. Sit down. You will submit. This episode is extra special because we have two dogs and a podcast fan in the room.
Yeah.
Observing us.
Lots of distractions for us.
We like it. I feel special.
I do too.
It's nice. And they can give us feedback.
Well, I've been obsessively listening to crime podcasts lately.
Is it? Oh my God. You used to be addicted to crime shows.
Now I'm on crime podcasts. And
do you fall asleep to them and you're like, oh, it's so peaceful?
No, I fall asleep to the Calm app.
Oh,
the sleep stories.
It. Oh, yeah. You're a major calm
last
rapper.
Night, it was a sleep story about a trek on the Anatolia out of Turkey, Mecca.
And then do you make it to the end or you usually just pass out?
No, dude. I
you
think probably out. Like 5 minutes in.
I love it. Well, we love Calm, and everyone go check out the Calm app on all of your, on the apps where all the apps are available.
Yeah, I was freaking out because I'm registered under your name and then I couldn't log in.
I can't get it.
And you're like, Chip, I'll fix it later. I'm like, I need the password. I'm like, I use it every day.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
This is what happens when you don't meditate.
You're like, see? I was like, I need it.
I'm going to lose my shit. So everyone, this episode is with Billy Presida, also known as the man whore. And let me just say, when he first reached out to recording with us, I wasn't a judgment of his name. I did listen to his podcast, actually. And I was like, I don't really know what we're going to be talking about. But there was a little bit of like, I don't really know how great this episode's going to be. He sounds great in his podcast. But I was just like, I don't know if we're all going to jive. It was awesome.
Right.
I love this episode. He knows his shit. He's very well experienced. He's just out there in the field going to sex parties.
Two words for you about this podcast.
What's that?
Gangbang.
Gangbang.
We didn't have one, but he knows how to organize those.
Yeah, he organizes gangbangs. People actually pay
Spoiler him. Alert. You don't need to listen to the episode anymore. Yeah. Just know he organizes gangbangs.
Yeah.
Call him.
He goes to a lot of
his
sex
number
parties.
Is 555.
Gangbang.
Gangbang. But I will say, cause he came to my house and I was on his show first. You were out of the country you were in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So I was on his show and I did kind of love his energy and think that he was super cool.
He's
and then
East Coast.
He's very East Coast and he just has a great perspective and a great attitude. I met his mom first.
His mom was with? Oh, she was
in
here?
Brooklyn at the sex expo.
Oh,
and she's like, you got to meet my son, Billy. You got to be on his show. I was like, I don't remember if she actually sounded like that, but I know she was like East Coast, like, kind of funny. I don't know what the right adjective would be to describe her. Like the typical, I just think of like a typical East Coast mom.
I kind of imagine that he would have a really sweet, awesome, cute East Coast mom that was
really
obsessed with
him. Can you come to my son's gangbang tonight? I was like, I'm busy. She didn't say that.
I hope she did. That's adorable. You know, you. I feel like, because he does stand-up comedy, right?
He does, yeah.
You and Billy would be a good stand-up duo.
I've never done stand-up. I think I'd be terrified.
I know. Well, Kyle Timmons doing, but he says this is the scariest thing ever. He surfs crazy waves and mavericks, and he says that's it's scary to get on stage and do comedy.
Totally. When he came to your birthday party, he was talking about he was about to go to his stand-up performance, and he did a few kind of lines into it and was really funny because he's so serious
and
intellectual that you don't think about him as being a comedian.
Yeah.
And he was great.
Kyle Tierman's been on this podcast many times. If you all want to know more about him, you can go to The Kyle Tierman Show. It's a very easy name to...
No.
Well, good luck spelling Tierman. I'm not going to spell it out for you. Okay, so we have a couple things we're going to share before we dive into the show. A shout out to one of our sponsors, Pure Pleasure, also known as a sex shop online that I own with my mother. Hey, Mom, we love you. Janice,
your mom's in Australia. Hi.
Mom's in Australia. She's down under.
I'm meeting her one day.
With her and her Aussie girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, that's cute. You guys are going to go do the foodie tour?
I don't know what we're doing.
Oh, well, you're going to do the foodie tour. Okay. Because you're all foodies.
I'm into it.
PurePleasureShop.com is having a sale, 25% off of any of their online sex ed classes. And I'm actually one of the educators there that you can learn all about oral sex 101, orgasm 101, tantra, anal. Also 25% off of the health and wellness section. That includes Kegel balls. April and I are huge fans of the Smart Balls, Kegel balls by Fun Factory, condoms, all kinds of other things. So go check it out, purepleasureshop.com. Use coupon called sexyhealth25 in all caps. Oh, wait, we don't need all caps anymore. Didn't we learn that?
Yes.
Try them both, see what happens.
Yeah.
April, you want to share the listener feedback? I love when listeners give us their feedback and testimonials. And sometimes they're sharing just praise. Sometimes it's opinions on how we can be better. Sometimes it's about our speakers. I think this one's about a speaker.
I appreciate feedback.
Yeah, me too.
I do, like, constructive. So the subject is episode number 142. Just wanted you to know I was cry laughing over the discussion about jizz in the ass. I have not read this
yet. This is not about the speaker.
One of my girlfriends calls the end result sputter butt. And if that isn't the best description, I don't know what is. I think I'll stay anonymous for this comment. Wow, sputter butt. I like that. I think that they should have signed it sputter butt. Yours truly, sputter butt.
Yeah, I think we were talking about jizz in the ass. Was that with Kristen, maybe?
We talked about it
a couple times, yeah.
We were talking about jizz in my ass, and you were like, oh, man, you let him jizz in your ass. Yeah. And I was like, what's wrong with that? You're like, I'm walking with a limp after that shit.
That's not what I said.
No, that's not what you said. I'm just ad-libbing here. I don't remember exactly what you said, but it was funny.
I like that feedback. All right, let's go on the sex question.
All right, so this sex question is from an anonymous listener. I'm 22 years old in a 6-going-on-7-year relationship. My partner and I are very open with each other. But recently, we have had a hard time communicating sexual desires. My fiancé has drunk talked about wanting women. She shuts down when I bring it up while she's sober. I feel like it's a craving she's suppressing because she feels like I want to be present while said experimentation is happening. I don't feel the need to be present while she is indulging in her fantasy. How can I make her feel more comfortable talking about taboo subjects like this with me? I also have some bi-curious interests, but I'm afraid of the reaction I will get from her. Please help us in our next step towards our sexual freedom.
Freedom! I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah. Bi-curious.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like little tags in there today. Well, just tags from our history are in there. Freedom and bi-curious.
I love bi-curious. That was a good one.
Those are two. I mean, great question, first of all. Yeah. Thank you, listener.
One of the things that came to mind, first of all, because all right, we're going to go with they. They are bi-curious, but the person that was talking about this, I guess projection's the wrong word, but because they are also bi-curious and they're like really wanting to have this conversation about the girlfriend talking about this, about their bi-curiosity, but only when they're drunk. And so they're really wanting to like have the conversation, open the doors for that. But part of it's like, are you wanting to do that to make it safe for her, or are you wanting to do that whilst because it's an easy access point for you to have the conversation for what you truly desire too? Which there's not a problem either way. I'm just like getting clear about where you're coming from, and I'm curious too what comes up. So you know, so when she's drunk, she talks about wanting women, and then when she's sober and you bring it up, she pretends like it didn't happen. She's not down to have the conversation about it, and you want to create a safe outlet for her, or avenue for her to be able to talk about that, or you to be able to talk about your own bi-curiosity. And if you've listened to our podcast, you've heard us talk about more loving ways to bring up these conversations, usually not in the bedroom if it's something that is kind of vulnerable for people. So when people are in good spirits, they have lots of time, they're not in a hurry, and you can bring this up of like, hey, so the other night you said this thing, you were a little intoxicated. I don't know if you remember, but you said this thing. And when you said it, you could also say like, when you said it, I got kind of excited. I was like, oh, I kind of want that for you, you know, cause they're saying, you know, I don't necessarily want it for me. It's not about me. Cause I think it's where that comes up a lot. I want my girlfriend to be bi-curious so that I can watch or be a part of it. But instead it's like, no, her to go and experience that. I want to support that. And you can start it by saying that, having some, you know, enthusiasm for it, as opposed to, like, you said this thing the other day, what does that mean? You know, because you do have some enthusiasm for it. And then use it as a access point too, for you to share your own thing too. Like, you know, if it's more like, you said this thing and I'm kind of excited for you to explore that. Like, I'm kind of getting like a yes to that. And it actually made me curious for myself. Like, I kind of have a desire to explore that too. Could be a safe way to express that.
They've been together. This person's only 22, and they've been in that partnership for 6 or 7 years.
Since
they were teenagers. So that kind of brings up for me a conversation about, look, our desires are probably shifting and changing, and they're becoming a little bit more open. Both of them obviously have deep ingrained curiosities about either the opposite sex or experiencing a different situation than the current partnership. And I think maybe it's time to just say, hey, what if this was a scenario for us? Is it us doing this together, experimenting together? Is it us separately experimenting and then coming back and discussing this? And I think if you've been together since you were in your teens, most likely you've had this traditional hetero or whatever that this situation partnership looks like, idea about the norm
and monogamy too.
And monogamy. Yeah. And it doesn't hurt to just bring it up in an open, as you were saying, in this open sort of free to speak your mind when you're drunk or sober. Mm-hmm. Obviously, liquid courage always helps.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, if you've been together since you were teenagers, of course, there's desire coming up to experience other humans too. I mean, that happens in all long-term relationships. I think for most folks, there's at least some sort of like desire or attraction to someone else. But you know, all of this is normal and natural to want to explore, and to, yeah, just start having conversations about this. And one of the things when I talk to clients, when I do sex and relationship coaching, and they're going to talk about sex-related issues, I use the term, you know, sell it to them, but you're not selling it to them. You're doing it in a authentic way. It's not like bullshitting them, but as a means of, how can we navigate this as a means of bettering our relationship, deepening our connection. You know, we can have more aliveness and more expansion if we have these desires and we create this safe way for us to explore that, either together or separate, but then we come together later and it can create more, like, I don't know, juiciness. It sounds fun. And it's cool that they're both on the same page, kind of. Well, unless she's just drunk talking and it's not really, but I don't know. It sounds like
they're on the same page, but not verbally.
It sounds like there might be some shame for her.
Right.
Actually, for both of them, too, because he's not coming
out.
Or they.
Like that, sometimes that's difficult to overcome. So
yeah.
I say go for it.
Yeah.
Just
explore those conversations, see what happens. And do so in a time, in a place that feels like there's enough spaciousness for it. So, yeah.
Well, maybe you can go to one of Billy Presida's
I know. Maybe Billy Presida can organize a gangbang for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or just a sex party.
I'm just kidding. You didn't ask for a gangbang, so you probably don't want to organize a gang. That's extreme. You're like, let's just go right into gangbang. Like, just get,
yeah.
I want 5 dicks all at once. This is my first
they got to crawl before they can bang. Okay? Most likely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so... Y'all know we have sponsors. We need sponsors because, well, they keep the podcast free when we have sponsors for you all. And we're very particular about who we allow to sponsor our podcast. We seriously get a lot of folks that check in with us about that, and they want to work with us. And a good majority of them we're not on board for, because we're sex educators and we are particular. One we've already talked about on a podcast that we love is something called My Girl Fund. It's a creative name. And it is a program where folks can actually have virtual relationships with women whenever they want. But here's the badass thing about it. The people that actually work there are empowered. So it creates a really safe outlet for these women there to create their own business, to choose who they want to work with, how they want to work with them. So it is, it's working on both sides. It's actually giving folks, because sometimes it's hard to meet sexual partners, you know, or people that you can be flirtatious with or sexual with in real life. And porn certainly doesn't do that. And there is a special deal for all listeners.
It's true. For you, shameless sex revolutionary, it's free to join mygirlfund.com, and for a limited time when you can become a lifetime premier member for less than $5 when you visit mygirlfund.com/shameless. That means you you, that's you, can get discounted credits and bonus interaction features for life when you go to mygirlfun.com/shameless. Go check it out.
Go check it out.
It sounded like you were saying my girlfriend.
My girlfriend.
My girl. My girl fund.
What is that? Oh, my girl. Remember that movie, how sad it was?
Oh, yeah.
With the bees? Yeah. That scared me about bees, even though I'm not allergic. You're allergic. April's super allergic to bees. Do you have your EpiPen?
I do have an EpiPen.
You should always tell me where your EpiPen is.
I have this weird situation at my house where there's always dead honeybees outside on my balcony.
Oh, they like your balcony. They're like attracted. You've ever seen them on tennis courts before? They go and they like attracted to and they go and just like die on it.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, maybe you need
because to. Because I love the honeybees and.
Who doesn't love a good honeybee?
The allergy is just a sad oversight that.
Don't die on me, Chip.
The universe didn't think about.
No.
Thanks. I like flowers.
Thanks, universe. How about a bio?
Bio for Billy?
Yeah.
So, Billy Procida. And by the way, Amy now wants me to read all the things. You're so good at it. So here I am reading all the things. And I haven't even taken a look at this yet, but I feel like I know Billy so well.
You do.
And his mom.
And his mom.
Mom. So Billy Procida is a professional stand-up comedian, podcaster, and accidental gangbang organizer. For over a decade, he's entertained audiences all over the country and can be seen at comedy clubs and Tinder around New York City. His show, The Man Whore Podcast, A Sex Positive Quest for Love, was named a top sex podcast by Esquire and Uproxx 3 years in a row. And his sex and dating advice has been featured in outlets like Cosmo, Your Tango, Men's Health, and more. Oh, and his father is finally proud of him. To learn more, visit Man Whore Podcast. Oh, just sorry. It's www.manwhorepod.com/iTunes. But first.
This podcast was made possible by Ritual. You know how much we love putting good things into our bodies, but did you know that many vitamin companies use shady ingredients and synthetic fillers? This is why we love Ritual. They are committed to showing you all of their sources and to showing you the nutrients and exactly where they came from.
Fun fact for you, 40% of women cannot properly utilize the synthetic form of folate that's in most multivitamins. I'm actually one of those women, but Ritual uses all the good stuff my body loves, and this is why I adore Ritual. Come on, you deserve to know what you're putting in your body. Hello, consent. Daily changes really do lead to big results, so why not start with something as simple as your vitamins? And Ritual is offering Shameless Sex listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Just go to ritual.com/shamelesssex to start your ritual today. That's 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/shamelesssex. Now back to the show.
All right, everyone. It is episode time, and we are here with the creator, the one and only Man Whore Podcast.
Man Whore.
I love
that
name.
That name is hilarious. I know my partner was like, wait, you're running a podcast called the Man Whore Podcast? Like when I was on your podcast?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but it's not like that. Which we, can you tell people why you called it the Man Whore Podcast?
Yeah, guys, it's like accused of feminism, I swear. No, I do a podcast called the Man Whore Podcast where I started 6 years ago talking to women I'd hooked up with about sex, dating, and why we didn't work out. Mm. And I also now talk to various like sex educators, porn stars, sex workers, queer performers, industry moguls like yourself
like
and
April.
Stand-up comedians and stuff like that. It's a good time, yeah.
You're a stand-up comedian as well, right?
That I am. Yeah,
which
I've been
awesome.
Professionally unfunny for a long time.
Professionally unfunny. I like that.
Yeah. And yeah, you're on a road trip across the country and you mm-hmm. now are in sunny Santa Cruz. He just got all of his shit jacked from his car in San Francisco.
I know. Not all of it.
Not
thing.
All of it.
Yeah, but a good check. That's that.
My first broken car window.
Oh, I know.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, it's a double bummer that they stole a couple things and they broke your window. Now you have to go get your window
and no
fixed.
One offered help.
I bet
that was my that was my big thing. One lady had the audacity to come up to me and the first thing she said was like, what did you leave in your car? And I was like, did you just ask how short my skirt was? Fuck you. Get out of my face. I'm duct taping my window.
This is your fault.
Yeah. What?
Oh my God, it kind of is. It's like its own form of slut shaming. It's car shaming.
It's just like the victim of a crime. Yeah. We should not be, whatever the crime is,
what'd
we should
you
be
do?
Asking, what did you do?
What did you do to deserve this?
Now you can ask what happened. Yeah. You get punched in the face, you can ask what happened, but do not ask, like, what did you do to deserve being punched in the face?
Well, that's so interesting because we hear stories about, you know, East Coasters not being that friendly, Californians being more like looking you in the eye and smiling at you. But, you know, every time I've gone to the East Coast, I've met such nice people.
Oh my God.
I don't experience that, but I've heard people say that.
My friend that has a kid who lives out here in Santa Cruz, but she comments on whenever she's on the East Coast, in New York City specifically, people offer her help all the time, like opening the doors, taking up the stroller up and down things. She's like, whenever I'm in, not necessarily Santa Cruz, but Los Angeles or San Francisco, no one even like...
No fucks given.
Never even opens a door for the
mom. You know, it is in New York. It's not the matter of like being nice. It's just there is a community vibe. I think 9/11 did a lot of that for people. There's a sense of like, we are a city together and we're going to help out, but also get the fuck out of my way. Don't walk too slow, but I will help you patch up your window.
Yeah. People aren't super smiley and like, hey, but everyone talks to each other. Yeah. That's what I've noticed. People will definitely be nice to you in general, like when you're walking on the street, or they'll stop and be like, hey, I like your sunglasses. Yeah. And I'm like, thank you. That doesn't really happen as much in San Francisco.
Y'all got a driving culture out here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we really do.
Instead of walking and public transportation. Yeah,
that's why all you tourists don't know how to walk in New York City, because you're not used to walking in a city.
We're like, what?
You don't realize, no, ladies, do not walk 5 wide. That is not how we do this.
You're blocking 5 wide?
Like, 5 wide, like blocking off the
entire
sidewalk.
Maybe walking 2 by 2 and you lose your friends in the back.
Yes. Yeah. You're like come on, let's Karen, get this organized.
We all know where she goes.
She's in the back. She's slow. So bringing this to the topic of group sex, which is what we're going to talk about. The first question about group sex. You have experienced things like orgies, sex parties, et cetera. Have you experienced them out here in California as well or on the West Coast? I'm curious about the West Coast versus East Coast.
No, because no one talks to each other out here. I know. No one knows where they're at.
We're in our isolated little homes.
I've been to, I had a live podcast I did in Oakland last year, and then a group of fans, we actually hung out at a bar next door to get drinks, and then 3 people from the audience I knew, and we were supposed to have a little like foursome that night. Mm-hmm. So we had an Airbnb, but the bar closed at like 9:30 because they were too busy because they didn't know how to handle people on a Saturday night. So they closed. We're like, hey, you guys just want to go to the Airbnb and hang out? So there's like maybe a group of, I don't know, 7 to 9 of us. We go to the Airbnb and we're just sitting. We're talking about how the show went. We're talking about sex positivity in general, nerding out on things. And then someone suggested, hey, anybody just want to kind of go upstairs and like have a big cuddle puddle? And I was like, all right, sure. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of these people just meeting for the first, I'm meeting some of them for the first time. So we go upstairs, cuddle puddle, and just instantly people are making out. Mm. And then it just starts becoming, like, I think I might be the only stand-up comedian who has, like, frequently watched his fans fuck each other. So things devolve around me, but I don't instigate.
I mean, you've never hung out with Chappelle. You don't know what his fans do when he's around, right?
You know, Chappelle did have a joke in the first set of specials that I really related to. He's like, I was right at an orgy once. No one fucked me. And I was like, this man,
intimidated. They were probably like, it's Chappelle.
No, just the idea of like the obsession with like being right. It's like, you know what? When it matters, it's not going to matter, you know, being right. Just like hang out.
I've never been to a sex party.
Oh. Let's change that.
I know. I've been to like a dungeon. It
you
wasn't
are
an operation.
The wonderful influence from what I hear.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, let's go do weird things.
I know.
Let's go to hedonism. Like,
aren't you kind of into organizing these lately?
Yeah. I'm in the
planning
committee for a sex party. There isn't much in Santa Cruz.
You
right?
casually mentioned that yesterday with me and my partner. Like, yeah, so I'm planning a sex party.
I hadn't told you yet.
No, you had told me. It was just funny, and he was like, oh. And
like, what happens at a sex party?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think of sex? Yeah.
A lot of Dungeons and Dragons talk. that type. Everyone's like, the nerds like don't get laid. No, the nerds were fucking. They are a bunch of kinky, horny weirdos, and it's awesome.
Some of the people that have the most fun are the people that are not like your mainstream. Because the mainstream folks, like they have a lot of insecurities. And not, I mean, that's a generalization, but I think a lot of the folks that have kind of found their...
or owned their alternativeness of whatever that is, you know, whatever is not the mainstream way in all the different ways that is, I find that they seem to have more fun. There's definitely a little more wildness there.
What does a sex party look like, though? So there's ones that you like wear bracelets depending on what you're into or how approachable you are. What if you go to one and there's not that type of communication? Do you just have to go up and ask people what they're into? Or, hey, can I just fuck you? Or, hey, do you want to make out? Or, hey, do you want to go to a cuddle puddle in the bathroom with me? I mean, what does it look like?
It's a luxury bathroom. Yeah. You know, it is that terrifying thing of like, oh, you're going to have to go and talk to somebody, interact with a human being on, you know, in the real world and not online. It just depends. Hacienda, my play party community, they've in the past done a bracelet thing, which I like that.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I like that.
Just the idea of like if there was like red, like, don't come flirt with me. Mm-hmm. And the green was like, I am welcome to be hit upon. And then there was confusion about like, oh, people's bracelets flipping and they not realize it.
What color are you? Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, I'm on green. Oh, no, it says red. Oops. You know, I think they've abandoned that system at this point.
And then does that go with like sexuality as well and what you're into?
No, I think there's a utopia where like we have all the identifiers on here, but then they start feeling like, you know, yellow star bands and you're like, ooh, this is now uncomfortable. We're visually labeling ourselves all the different stuff. I think there's a world where like that feels like it makes sense to do, but it just becomes impractical and all that stuff. No, you just go up and you talk to people like any other party. Really, a sex party is just a regular party where you can also have sex in front of people.
Yeah.
It's, you know how like you go to a house party, someone like goes off into a bedroom or bathroom and they fuck at the house party, just not in front of everyone. Well, imagine you didn't have to hide. Mm-hmm. That's a sex party.
And people are all there for kind of a shared reason. Doesn't mean that they all are there to have sex. Like some people just like being around the energy. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to like make out with someone or just like go in a cuddle bone. Some people want to fucking get tied up and you know, fist it or whatever the thing is.
Are there like drinks and drugs or is it sober? Because I feel like I would need some kind of loosening agent.
It depends on the community.
Yeah,
like my, like the, like Hacienda, they, I don't run Hacienda. When I say my, I just mean that I'm a part of it, and that I go, but you know, they advise everyone to monitor their own alcohol intake, no hard drugs done in public. So they don't want people like just doing lines of blow on tables. Weed is considered pretty chill. But other parties have their own rules. You know, it's just about everyone knowing what the rules are and the rules being effectively communicated up top. You know, are we a no tobacco party? All right, just let us know.
Vegan party.
I'm not. One, who there would have the energy?
Right? And these are at people's homes.
It depends. I mean, really, whatever. Like,
so I would think about the cleanliness of the environment, like the couch.
Sure.
How many cum
stains? She's a germaphobe, too.
Yeah. are these sheets clean that I'm climbing into bed? See, that's why I'm too much in my head about
shit. But that's okay.
Shit.
You just need to find the right party for it or make your own germaphobe play party.
Or bring your own sheets.
Yeah, bring your own sheets.
What, in a backpack? Then people are going to think I'm some Unabomber kind of.
People show up with backpacks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they do.
You show up in your street clothes and you get dressed in your sexy whatever you want to wear there.
They've got all their toys and their rope
their
and everything. Their gear.
See, I would want
to
bring
my own
gear. You
actually look like a badass with a backpack, I think. They'd be like, oh, she's got a lot of gear in there. But
I'd wear like a holster with my Hitachi.
And also like and some hand sanitizer on the
and
other
some
side.
Hand sanitizer.
And if you go to a good party, they have like a Hacienda, they have the little PlayStations where they do have like, each station has like a hand sanitizer, different types of lube,
condoms,
wee pads, you know, all the gloves, everything.
And
you know,
these are invite only, or if you are, so if I'm a civilian and I'm listening to this podcast and I live in New York and I decide that I want to explore the Hacienda sex parties, do I go online and sign up with a headshot or what?
So again,
a vulva shot?
And every
this is what's coming at you.
When it comes to group sex, it's all different. It all depends. And it's really, you can make whatever the rules you want to be, and a lot of them have different vibes. Sex clubs, swinger clubs are going to have a different vibe than, you know, a gangbang, which might have a different vibe than a sex positive, queer friendly party, which might have a different vibe than like a really more heteronormative, couples only type of party. It all just depends what you're going to, why you're going to it, and what the rules are at that place. You know, is this like 10 of your friends just like going over to Carol's place, or are you guys paying admission to go to this sex club where the function of it is to make money? Mm-hmm. Oh, it all okay. just depends. Okay. I can speak to my experiences at Hacienda and what I've heard from other people and things that I've organized myself. But it all always depends.
And it's safe. So as a woman, let's say, I mean, because obviously safety could be an issue if you're showing up somewhere by yourself, you could feel safe going to these organized parties rather than going to Craigslist and looking up sex parties and seeing what comes up. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with that. So it's probably better to go the organized route if you are a single or like attending singly. Mm. As an individual female or even
I would say it still depends. I mean, I found stuff through Craigslist too that were totally on the up and up. They just happened to throw up something on Craigslist as well.
I'm just asking for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to know
yeah.
if I.
No. What I'm saying is like something that I would be like, oh, I trust this place, and I would recommend it to you, April. But they also might advertise on Craigslist and FetLife and this place.
Okay.
So. Yeah, although rest in peace, Craigslist. We don't get to have that anymore.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what different. Happens when we don't defend sex workers. We lose the fun things.
I know. When I've been I've been to a couple different variation sex parties. Some more casual, like at Sex Geek Summer Camp. So it's not like a official sex party, but there's a playroom yeah. there, and so you can go in and out there anytime. And we've been a part of those, and I've been to official sex parties as well. And shit still happens there. You yeah. know, consent still gets broken, even though in the official sex party that I went to, not only do you have to apply to go, you have to be vetted in by someone else, you know, who's like, kind of like your sponsor, saying like, you're a cool person who understands consent. And then you have, but it's not like VIP, it's just like you're a respectful human that understands that. Then you have to read a whole big document on consent. Then you also have to go in the beginning of the party, do like a half an hour spiel on consent, boundaries, etc.
Do you sign the document or is just...
I think you probably sign something and then you go to this thing, they still do a half an hour talk and shit still happens. Oh. And it's not like, when I say that, it's up for interpretation, right? Because it's so easy for boundaries to get crossed. And
like a consent violation isn't automatically this malicious,
yeah,
violent
mean,
act.
Yeah.
It can also mean an accidental boundary yes. crossing, you know.
And so it could mean someone, you know, just misinterpreted something, or their experience was like, that was too far, and I thought I vouched for myself and spoke where I was at, and then the person didn't hear me, and then there's some cleanup that needs to happen. So, but I appreciate that when these groups are doing that, where they're putting so much education emphasis on the consent conversations. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure with like a small group of friends, you could just have a big old like orgy of fun and not necessarily need to do all of that work there. Yeah. But especially when it comes to like people don't know each other and intoxication. Yeah.
So like a few weeks ago, my girlfriend, her friend put together a little, like got a hotel room and invited like, you know, a dozen people, and we had a little thing. But before it all, and yeah, very casual, very loose. There wasn't a bunch of emails. However, when we got there, before like things really started to develop, she did stand up and just be like, hey everybody, I just want to talk like real quickly about consent. And then she just like gave a little quick spiel, some like real basic stuff, because she invited everyone handpicked, so she knows everyone's on board. But it's the act of just kind of like saying it, vocalizing it, introducing, reminding everyone about how consent works or is about to work in this space. But like at Hacienda, which could have 100 to 200 people, more formal. There's things in the email. There's things on the ticket page. If it's your first time, you have to go to the consent workshop before the party starts, which is mandatory. There are signs places. There are guardians with armbands that you can go to if something happened. And you can say, hey, I had this experience with this person. They can, you know, handle stuff. So, again, it all depends. I think if you get invited to some sort of, like, party where you got to pay a ticket and you don't see any consent language anywhere around it, I think that'd be a red flag. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like, you know, going to Carol's house, like, yeah, maybe it's going to get covered at some point. Or maybe you can say, hey, are you going to do a quick little like consent chat? And mm-hmm. your friend might go like, oh, yeah, duh. Mm-hmm. Well, let me go grab my wine and we'll be like, we'll give a little chat. You know, it just, again, it all depends on the party. You know, for me, like I was organizing gangbangs last year. And for me, like I did a lot of it via the email, especially because the actual scenes themselves did not lend well to a big talk up front. So I just very incessant with emails and make sure people, you know, I have tests to make sure people read, you mm-hmm. know, everything that went down.
Oh, you have tests?
Well, I have the brown M&Ms. You know about brown M&Ms?
No, it's the brown M&M's. I don't think I know about this.
I mean, I know about brown M&M's. They're the least favorite of the M&M's.
So I think there was, I forgot what band it was. And I think Seinfeld also said about this with like green M&M's, whatever the color. Just the idea of like in their writer, they would say in the green room, we want a bowl of just brown M&M's. Mm-hmm. And there's other stuff in the writer. And the M&M's are not actually important. Some people would think that's a diva. But no, what that person's trying to be is saying like, if you got the brown M&M's right, I know you got all the important things
that's
right.
That's like the test. Yeah, yeah.
So like in my Reddit ads where I'm like recruiting men for, you know, whatever scene we're trying to do, I say I need this information. And now my brown M&M's is very self-serving, but it would include... also send a screenshot of you subscribe to the Man Whore podcast.
Yeah, so you got a new fan. Nice.
Just to apply.
To yeah, yeah.
But if they did that and they included all the information I said, now I'm like, I know you follow instructions. I know you read the whole ad. Now you can be considered.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Some people might say, at the bottom of that, I might say, include your favorite song in the subject line just to prove you read everything.
Okay.
So that's right. What I might do with like the consent stuff in my email back and forth with the group of guys is like, you know, just making sure everyone knows what's going down.
And what's up with STIs and STDs, or if folks are coming with those, are you supposed to like be open about those before you hook up with someone? Is that something that is talked about?
I mean, you should, I especially when it comes to group sex and casual sex in general, because STIs are a risk when we go off and have casual sex with, you know, new people.
Yeah.
However, I believe everyone needs to be responsible for their own health and obtaining the information they need to feel comfortable and safe, et cetera. So, because, you know.
It's okay, you can cough, cough on the
sorry
air.
About that, yeah. I know how post works. I know you can take that. You know. Okay. The example I like to give is like, someone goes, hey, have you been tested? Mm-hmm. Someone says, yes. What information did you actually obtain?
Not much.
You right? tested yeah. what? Once in your life?
Did
when?
You, was yeah. it the SATs?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just even on the when did it happen? And then what you, have you been tested? That means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. That can mean.
I had a friend that thinks that what he has been out of the dating rails. He thought one of his new partners asked him if he'd been tested. And he's like a compatibility test. And I started dying laughing.
So you're saying no.
So you're saying no. Yeah. The last time you were tested, never.
But if it's, you know, for me, like what I do is I protect myself and I use condoms in the situations I know I need to use condoms for. So I use condoms for like vaginal anal. And then I kind of lean into we don't really use barriers for oral, right? Mm-hmm. But I will use them if like they're, you know, requested. That's mm-hmm. just my personal ethic.
Right.
And you always adhere to the more sensitive party. But also when you're asking, what do you get tested? Like, I ask, like, what have you been tested for? Because, like, to some people, that's just an HIV test. To some, that's the standard panel. I always get an oral swab for oral chlamydia and oral gonorrhea when I get tested. Mm. That doesn't come standard. Yeah. No one fucking thinks about that.
You have to request it.
Yeah.
I do a full blood draw.
Yeah, some people, it's that. You talk to the porn folks, it's going to be, are you, like, in the pass system? Mm-hmm. So that's an even different standard and rigor of testing. So when you say, have you been tested? I don't know what the fuck that means. Mm-hmm. But I think also, we live in a country we don't teach sex ed.
Yeah.
So people don't, people just ask because they know they're supposed to. They don't know what information to ask for. Mm-hmm. Just like when you see like personals ads, they'll say like D&D free and disease free, or D&D and drug free, or whatever. Mm-hmm. D&D free means disease and drug free.
Yeah.
So, but they don't know what that means. They just have seen it in ads and think, well, I should put that in ad too. Right? That's what that is. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah. I should also throw in disease free.
Because you just think you're disease free, but you may have not been tested.
Because
still, yeah.
We don't educate people. So people are just kind of doing what they think they're supposed to do instead of what they should do. So when it comes to like sexual health in a group sex scenario, I think you are responsible for your own comfort level and obtaining information you want. So if you want to know if someone's ever had a cold sore, that's on you to ask.
Yeah.
I don't think people are required to then just give that to you. I would like to hope that if someone is...
hasn't in the middle of an outbreak.
Yes, or someone's like in the middle of like gonorrhea. And honestly, I'm a fake smart person. Like, I know about gonorrhea, but I also don't know exactly what the symptoms are. So if someone's experiencing the symptoms of gonorrhea, like, I hope they wouldn't also be at the party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If someone knows they have gonorrhea, I would imagine they're going to be waiting. Like, I had an ex who, like, one of her partners tested positive for gonorrhea, and there wasn't enough time in between the party we wanted to go to and getting tested to get the results. So we just decided that night we weren't going to play with other people. So people come up, you're like, oh, you want this? We're not playing with other people tonight. We're kind of waiting on a test result.
Yeah.
It was that simple. And they were like, all right, cool. And I think we like made out with a couple people, maybe.
Yeah.
But that
was
it. Yeah. And yeah, so it's, you got to take charge for your own health. And a part of that is just educating yourself because no one educated you. And, you know, I mean, there's the CDC website. I like Scarlet Teen. I'm a big Scarlet Teen stan. But yeah, just like go on the internet to a reputable place and like learn what you're scared of.
Yeah.
And also
yeah.
as you learn more about it, I believe you become less scared of it.
Totally.
People would be so way less scared of herpes if they knew about herpes.
Seriously, they 100%. Think it's like the death sentence.
Yeah.
Well, we had, so Reed Mihonko was on our podcast twice, but he did episode 5, the casual sex episode. I think he does his Safe for Sex elevator speech on there, which is like, you know, under a minute, maybe even under 30 seconds.
The audio is really bad on it.
Yeah, the audio is not great on it.
First
but you episodes. Could, but you could still get the gist of like what he's talking about. It's also on his website if you go to, what is it, read about, R-E-I-D about sex.com. And then we also did the STI episode that talks all about that. It really helps to get rid of a lot of the fear around it, like normalizing a lot of that stuff.
The more conversations you have, it's a practice.
Yeah.
The better you get at talking about it. Yeah. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I coached some people recently, younger women that are in and out of my life because of family and whatnot. And, you know, they're 21 and were diagnosed with something and are in a new partnership and so terrified to talk about it because they don't want to be deemed this slutty, gross human. And I'm like, no. The more you practice talking about it, the better you'll get. And if that person's going to turn you down or not want to be in a relationship with you, then at least you screen them out.
Yeah, ahead of time.
Yes.
And if you're worried about like catching something at like a sex party and you don't even know how to like verbalize what you're scared of catching at a sex party, you probably shouldn't be at that sex party.
You're probably not ready for it. Yeah.
But you're also, I would also argue, not ready for Tinder either. I mean, because to me, they're the same thing.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is made possible by OMGS.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made tasteful and inspiring short videos to show you techniques on how to pleasure yourself or another vulva. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years and has changed their lives.
So for all you vulva owners or vulva lovers out there who may already be having good orgasms and you want to take it to the next level, or perhaps you want to explore more variety in your playtime, OMGS will have something just for you. With 2 seasons, one all about internal and the other all about external techniques, it's better than any book or DVD money can buy. To learn more, visit omgs.com/shameless. Our listeners get $5 off. Check it out.
This podcast was also made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant great for all kinds of sex. It's less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are hundreds of doctors who recommend Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks who are experiencing dryness. You never knew lube could be this good.
So whether you're an avid lube lover or you've never used lube before, Uberlube is right for you. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on the body. Uberlube has endless uses. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth right before an oral sex session, and it totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's gorgeous. It's totally discreet and looks more like a beautiful cosmetic product, so you can even leave it on your nightstand shamelessly.
To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com. Use code SHAMELESSSEX and you get 10% off and free shipping. That's uberlube.com. Go check it out. And now back to the show.
Have you been to Burning Man?
No, I like showers.
Oh, you're a shower. You can shower. They're just gonna bring an RV. I actually like didn't have a shower this last year. I just hustled other people's showers because there's shower camps. So there's camps. They'll go there. There's camps where they'll scrub you and bathe you. You would love this shit because you're kind of freaky. They'll go there and they call it like human carcass wash or something. And you're there with a whole bunch
just
of
took
naked.
All the sexiness out of that.
So they're all naked and they're all people just scrubbing you. But at any rate, and there's anyway. So that's interesting. But they have Orgy Dome and there's a lot of sex party things that happen there. And from my experiences in both, I went to Orgy Dome at Burning Man and then, you know, a sex party in the Bay Area.
I just love being around the energy. Yeah. Like, I'm here, and then only 2 feet away, there's like a fivesome going on, and people are moaning. And you hear all the slapping of flash and like orgasms, and there's something about it. Even if I was just sitting in that room, there's an aliveness that I feel in it. I'm like supercharged. Like, how fucking alive is this shit right now?
I think that's how I'd want to just ease into it. Yeah. Go not planning to participate, but go just to feel the energy of the environment, and then perhaps not close off to participation, but just see how it feels to me, because I love the visual art of it, bodies intertwined in each other and the energy of what's happening, and anyone that's experiencing sex and pleasure is beautiful to me. So I think that I'm open to sex parties and obviously orgy domes and different experiences within that realm. I just have never been exposed to it.
And going one just to watch is like a great first step. Like you do not have to, like, that's, it's so weird. It's so weird.
April's watch is talking to us.
Sorry.
Is it want to go to the sex party?
It's what near-death experiences can teach us about something. That's what it just came up with, huh?
Weird.
All right.
Tell her to stop interrupting the sex party talk.
And asshole. Sorry about that. Everyone listening?
That's all good. Sorry.
But yeah, no, the go and just watch is fine. But it's so weird the questions I'll get. Like, people are always like, you know, just in, like in conversation, they're like, oh, wait, but if I go to a sex party, do I have to fuck people?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, yeah.
Like,
what are the
what if I don't want to take my clothes off? Then don't take your clothes off. No one's forcing you to do so. If they are forcing you, that run. That's not a
good... And the gangbangs are similar, because gangbangs...
Yeah, let's go to gangbangs.
If you talk about gangbangs, when I think of a gangbang...
He organizes gangbangs.
I know, and you are gangbang organizer.
And she just grabs her tits. She just grabs
she's grabbing her back.
When I think about gangbangs,
my
nipples get hard.
My boobs hurt, so I'm just grabbing them because...
By the way, she used to love gangbang porn. So.
And I love and I've always wanted to say, I'm here for the gangbang, and like have like a 10-pack of condoms and just show up to somebody like old school.
My preferred happy ending massage person back in New York City, she hears about him. She's like, can I come watch?
Yeah, I just want to watch the gangbang.
I was like, do you want fluff? Like, I don't know. Those are, when I picture, if anyone doesn't know what gangbang looks like, just picture like Male Privilege, the movie. It's a lot like that.
So are there's usually only a few vulva owners?
I would say there is a special guest receiver.
Okay.
And is it always a vulva
owning?
Because
any hole can get ganged.
Oh, yeah. Any hole. So it can be a penis owner. It can be the
special
receiver.
You could get anally gangbanged. I mean, dudes do gangbangs. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's typically like a dedicated receiver and then some dedicated penetrators.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I love that. I'm a dedicated penetrator.
I love that too.
I'm going to use that in my next ad. Seeking dedicated penetrators.
I am a D&D free dedicated receiver.
Yeah, dedicated. Oh, that is pretty.
So the receiver is definitely a dedicated receiver.
I mean,
she is.
That is a role right there. Yeah,
that's a lot of that'd be a lot of action, a lot of energy that you'd have to be.
It's a lot of D.
The human that's receiving or that's choosing to be the receiver is a lot of D. I wouldn't mind some of this, you know, and maybe
some blow banging.
That's not that hard. Maybe your feet too, I guess. Ow. But then you have to be pretty. I'm just trying to maneuver.
She's trying to figure out all of her holes that can be
I'd
penetrated.
I'd probably be good at it for about 5 minutes, and then I'd be like, okay, I need some.
How about you all
things.
Just jerk off on my face? That seems easier.
Yeah, here we go.
Downgraded to a bukkake.
So when you organize a gangbang, what does this look like? And like, what's the intention behind it? Like, hey, I'm going to organize a gangbang. Like, what's this all about?
Well, the first one, I've put together a lot of like scenes because I love scenes. Mm-hmm. I think like the orchestration of like a stranger play thing or something like that is like really hot. Actually, the planning can be more of the foreplay, if anything.
So for you, if our listener doesn't know what a scene is, it's
just like anything where it's like you want to do some sort of fantasy and it kind of requires logistics or maybe a script of some sort or a time that the door unlocks, whatever you guys are doing. I mean, I set something up with a Bumble date once where we realized we went – interested romantically. It was like, hey, you want to hook up? I said something. Someone brought up stranger play and I suggested a scene, so we set it up. So she hid her keys outside of her apartment the night before. I got over there at like 6 a.m. I found the keys in the bushes, She lived alone. I went up to her apartment. I unlocked the door quietly. I sneak in. There's a cat. I'm like, you better not fuck this up. Shut up. Be quiet. Like, you don't want to be undone by the fucking pet.
What do you? How do you get undone by the pet?
The
pet,
if they were loud or something.
Because he's strangers. He's like sneaking in.
Oh, I think a dog would be worse than a cat,
because
though.
You're sneaking in with consent. Do you have consent?
Yeah, this is all a prearranged consensual encounter. Yeah. So we all, the two of us arranged this whole thing. I'm just like, explaining what the scene was, as opposed to like all the negotiation. But I can also go into that too. I mean, it really was, every part of this was like feeling out like, oh, what do you want? What's hot for you? But I'll just say what it was though. So she had her door open as we arranged. She was sleeping on top of her covers, naked as we arranged. And I was able to tiptoe in and like wake her up by eating her out. And she actually didn't wake up until after my tongue was already on her clit. Mm-hmm. And then like I just sent her to work happy, because this was like a Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm.
So that's like, hot.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that.
Yeah, scenes like that. I think those are fun. I think people think they're only for porn. I'm like, no, you can do them safely and responsibly. You just have to do them safely and responsibly.
Are you filming this?
Nah.
Oh, it's just the scene as
it's just for fun.
You prearrange the scene. There's no filming. It's just you're playing out what you had already pre-negotiated with this person. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
So stuff like that. So it's similarly with like a gangbang. It would be just like talking all it out. So I mean, one. So
do you say the man whore has arrived?
Oh God, no. Well, one. The show is the Man Whore Podcast. I'm just Billy. Man Whore is something people called me, and I was like, fine. But like, it actually started with the gangbangs. Particularly, it just started with a friend of mine who she asked me to throw her one, because she was like, "You seem like you could do this." Mm-hmm. I'd never done that before. We had never slept with each other. Mm-hmm. This was just like, you seem like you could pull it off, and I was like, all right. So I did. I threw her a birthday gangbang because I'm a nice friend.
Mm-hmm. What a good friend.
Actually, I didn't even fuck her at the gangbang. She doesn't know that, and that's part of the fun.
Oh, because she blindfolded? She
decided to be blindfolded, and this is all, you know, how we organized it was a lot of conversation with me and her. I'm asking like questions about the types of guys she wants, the type of vibes she wants, any logistics she wants, what kind of music you want, right? There's a lot of things that kind of go into that. So that's even before I'm even putting an ad out. I'm just getting a vibe of like, what do you want? What are your no's? What are your yeses? What are your maybes? I bring up stuff that maybe they didn't consider. We decide a blindfold is good because her fantasy is she wants to walk through New York City, and if anyone looked at her funny, she wants to be able to think, has that guy had sex with me?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
That's her fantasy. She wants, and she has a very distinct look. Like, if someone fucked her and saw her on the street, like, they would look and notice her, because that's just how she looks.
Yeah, I like so this lady.
She that's what she wants. She wants to think that everyone in New York has possibly had sex with her. And then I was like, hey, can strap-ons be brought in? So now, really, anyone in the city's fair game, right? So we arranged that, and that's why she doesn't know I didn't have sex with her, because I'm waiting for the opportunity. It's been over a year, and I'm waiting for in conversation her to say, like, oh, yeah, Billy and I fucked at a gangbang once. I'll be like, no, we didn't.
We actually didn't. You fucked a whole bunch of other people, though.
Other people fucked her. Some people went twice. I did not personally do it, but she thinks I did, which for me is a really funny practical joke amongst friends. But, yeah, so that was her vibe. So, you know, we had different types of people, and you know, we negotiated like what she didn't want touch, what she did want touch, and all that stuff.
And then, of course, it can always change when it happens.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
You always remind her, like, hey, like, because the thing I always have to remind is like, you are in charge. Like, if you want something different, if you need something, and then always remember, like, I am your point person. Like, don't worry about anything. Like, you need me, be like, Billy, I need you, and you come tell me. Mm-hmm. You don't like the dick that's inside you right now? You'd be like, hey, this one, I'm gonna hit pause, or. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm use the safe word or whatever is, you know, you negotiate a safe word as well. You know, I ask, like, do you want spanking? Do you want slapping? Do you want choking? Do you want spitting? Do you want to be called dirty names? Do you not want to be called dirty names? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be called very specific dirty names? Like, what is your, because it's your fantasy. I'm not into gangbangs. Mm-hmm. I like having sex with pretty
people. What kind of fantasies do you have as Billy?
Oh, reverse gangbang.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be blindfolded and used by women I'm not sure who they are.
You do? You do.
That's cool.
My ex almost put something together for my 26th birthday, but it fell through literally the morning of, where she arranged a bunch of her friends to, she was going to have like a tea party with her friends, like have some friends over in the living room, hanging out, having some tea, maybe some wine. It's like Sunday afternoon, and I would just be naked in her bed, blindfolded, and periodically, one of them would excuse themselves, go up there, and just use me how they want to. whether that was fucking or having me go down them or just playing with my cock or whatever it is that they want. If they want to play with my ass, whatever they want to do, they could just I just want to be their sex toy. And then they would just go back down and rejoin the party. And then that maybe do that for like 2 to 3 hours. And I'm just kind of in bed for their usage. Mm-hmm. That was actually my ex's idea. And I fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. So now I really still want to pull
you're
that
like,
off. I
really like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so I like being used. I like being of service in a way.
Or knowing you're being used, though, is hot to be like, use. Yeah. That's something that I like to get and tap into, too. I'm like, just use that pussy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a human right now.
I'm holes.
Yeah.
Or I'm a body that's meant to give you pleasure. So, you know, if that's just like riding my face and I don't even necessarily know who it is. Like, all that seems really hot and fun to me. That's definitely one of my bigger fantasies. It's just like the idea of being used and utilized. I also generally like stranger play stuff. That's really hot to me.
Where it's someone that you've never met before that's sort of like from, on the street.
We're not going out to get drinks first. Like, from the, and it's also not coming over and let's bang because that's boring.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, let's put a lot of bells and whistles on this to have like a really unique encounter.
Where you're moving, you're planning to meet outside of a date arrangement and maybe you fuck before you even have a conversation?
Yeah, we did a reverse date once with this one chick, and we're still very good friends.
You and your partner?
No, just like someone I met on a field ages ago. But we're still friends, but we used to sleep together for a while. And our first time together was, she hit me up on field, and her first message was like, I love...
What's Field?
It's like kind of like a sex positive.
F-E-E-L-D?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it's like,
cool.
I just describe it as like a general sex positive dating app because there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Okay.
So you would go there. Like, I mean, kind of like if FetLife had an app. So she just hit me up. She's like, I love the idea of stranger play and I want to put stuff in boys' butts.
I like this woman
too. This is awesome.
Opening message.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, all right. And so we arrange a scene. So like, cleared off my desk, put all my toys and gloves and lubes and stuff, labeled them nice and neatly. I'm a very good boy. Like, I'm making sure, like, oh, you can't put this lube with this toy. It's going to ruin the finish on it. Can't do it. Silicone with silicone. Bad, right?
Yeah, we know.
Just making sure. I know. I was checking with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fake smart person. You're the educator.
Well, we do, yeah. I mean, we do. There's like such a debate around the whole thing. I mean, you know, we're huge fans of Uber Lube. And I personally use Uber Lube and so many silicone toys that no problem.
Okay. I washed it after.
Yeah, we don't let it sit for 3 weeks.
Gotcha.
You know, I think they say that it takes at least a minimum of like 3 hours for it to start to affect the toy. And if you wash it right away, even after that, it should be fine.
Okay.
It's not a steak, people. Don't let it marinate, okay?
But the idea is like I was just labeling everything on the table for her. And then I put on the music that she told me to put on. And I laid out on my bed naked, blindfolded. And I mean, I arranged with my roommate. We have a very chill household.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
In Bushwick. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
We arranged for, like, she was going to buzz up at some point, and my roommate, Matt, would let her in, and she just came in the door, and I was there, and she just kind of molested me for an hour. We didn't even fuck, and so at one point, like, she put one of the toys in me, and it was just a really general good time, a lot of oral enhanced stuff, and then when she was done with me, she just put her clothes on, left, and when the door closed, I, like, waited for her to have left. And then I had a text waiting for me on my phone, which was a pre-negotiated part of the scene where she was going to leave and then text me the name of a nearby bar where we met and then had a totally almost normal first date.
Wow. That's so good. Did you talk about the experience?
Of course. Yeah. It was like really hot and fun. She'd never done a thing like that before. But also asked normal date questions like what do you do for work and shit like that. Like what brought you to New York City?
It's so funny. So when my ex-husband and I were trying to figure out if we were going to stay together, one time he picked me up and he told me that he just had been met up with a Tinder date and that she had just given him a blowjob in the car. I don't know if it was true or not. He said
really?
That he was trying to, either he was trying to make me mad. We were at a very strange part of our.
Trying to make you like horny mad. Like I'm so angry that's hot.
I don't know. So I don't know. He didn't have a history of lying. So it was really curious to me. And he said that. He said that, he just had a Tinder date and she just gave him a blowjob. And then I was like, well, where did she go? Like, did you have like a date afterward or what happened? He's like, no, I just dropped her off. And it was like this whole thing. And I thought it was so interesting how he hadn't had any exchange with this person that I don't know if it
you
was real
told
or not.
Me this.
I know I didn't really talk about it at all because
what
I didn't.
Other secrets?
I didn't know.
They come out like every 6 months. They'll be like something new. I'm like, you didn't tell me that.
I know because sometimes I like to process things, and I get in my head about stuff, and I didn't think it was wrong. Like, I wasn't mad at him. I thought it was interesting to me. I was like, wow.
Was this after you had an affair?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was. It was when we were trying to work out the logistics of how we were, if we're going to stay together or not. And it was free game because we were broken up at that point. So I was of course not going to get mad. And I thought that anything that he were to do, as long as it wasn't harmful to me or to himself, was fine. It was all, you know, all bets were off when it came to being in this monogamous relationship and partnership that we had been in. And so when he told me that, I didn't know if it was real or if it had been fabricated to get a reaction. However, what did come up for me was that it was really great that this was an option for people and that it was a safe space where people could just feel like they could get out their some of their fantasies. Yeah. And if it had just been on Tinder, I've never been on Tinder and I've never been on any dating apps still to this day. And I just thought that that was kind of cool that was, if it was safe. And obviously, I mean, he was safe, but safe as in not going to murder someone.
Sure. I mean, I just.
That I know of. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's also something I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I like stranger play because, like, I kind of like the. I need to know someone wants to have sex with me specifically and not just, like, oh, that's a hard dick.
Yeah.
So either I need to, like, get to know you a little bit or it needs to be, like, a scene and I'm into the scene as not and not really the person. And also something about stranger play, like, I like it because it makes me feel really sexy because I go, oh, they don't want to fuck me for my, like, personality. It's not like we had to talk for 2 hours for her to be like, all right, I'll hop on this one. He's funny or, you know, he's nice or whatever that is. I like the idea of, like, because I have my own, like, body issues. So, like, I want someone to, like, look at me and be like, yeah, like, just on sight, I'm down to have sex with this person.
Before you even open your mouth to speak a word, you want them
the story,
to be into you.
The narrative, like, my disorders, like, told me in my head is just that, like, oh, women sleep with your disgusting body because you offer these other things over here.
You don't have disgusting bodies. Yeah, is that what you think?
When I see it, you know, that's how, you know, eating disorders, they're tricky. Yeah. They just, the mirror, it lies to you.
Yeah.
You're beautiful, Billy.
But there, you were saying that there is body, you have body shame there.
Oh,
so that's part of the process that probably is healing for you to have people that are just like, I choose you by just looking at you.
Yeah, that's why I need, or it's like, I need to know it's not just because of the blue eyes or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and sex parties can do that too. Although there is definitely a lot, I think there's more talking than people think, you know, at a sex party.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there is we were at one very, it was a small one, but it was maybe 25-ish people, which, and there was so much talking. My friends, like four of my friends, we were getting so frustrated. No one's taking their clothes off. No one's trying to do anything. Someone's talking about like their brother. And I'm just like, what? And so like we tried to pull the mattresses out and like the four of us took our clothes off and tried to get something going just to be like, can we stop talking about family relations at the orgy? Because we were all invited to an orgy and I don't want to hear about like your brother's divorce.
Get down to business here.
Yeah, right? Come on.
I like that idea of having someone organize your fantasy for you.
That is a service I professionally am working on offering.
Oh my God. So people pay you to organize their fantasies. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're like the
it's not necessarily
director.
Like, yeah. I want to be think of it like the wedding planner for your biggest sexual fantasy.
This is brilliant.
That is a really great idea.
Yeah.
You can handle all, like, so say someone's like, okay, I want to have this. I want to be blindfolded. This is all the things I want it to look like. I want you to find the people. I mean, we want to make sure that you're the one watching this and make sure that no one does X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then, like, the you know, the people that penetrate me are wearing condoms or that only this person gets penetrated or whatever that is. And then you're regulating the scene. They just get to sit back and relax and receive.
And it's not even just for women. It wouldn't just be for gangbang.
Yeah.
It's just like, what, like, if you're like, I want this type of scene, like, what if I just described one of the things I've done, you're like, oh my God, it's really high. I wish someone could organize a one-on-one person thing and you don't necessarily want to hire me as a escort, which I agree too.
Yeah.
there are so many better options. But if you were like, how do I negotiate this? I don't know. I have 10 years of slutty Craigslist experience that apparently now I like know how to
You know how to do
happen.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can turn it into a business. So what would you say to folks, because I think this is a common question for people when they can, you know, call you and hire you and you can do some work for them. But for folks who just want, because I get that, that's why I'm in kind of in the process of working on starting some sex party stuff, because it's hard to find. You know, we can go up to the Bay Area here and there's a ton up there. But still, even so, it's kind of still private. If, what would you say to the person who wants to get into group sex, whether they're partnered or not, and what was your advice, you know, from someone who lives in a big urban city to someone who lives in, like, the
Kansas.
Middle of Nebraska? Yeah.
Gotta go Midwest.
I do get that a bit, you know, the people who are in the Bible Belt and don't know where to go. Like, one, they're there.
Yeah. Find your first Catholic church. No.
But it does exist in these places where they're like, oh, I must be the only kinkster in this part of, in Pocahontas, Arkansas, which is a real place.
Yeah, it's a real place. Yeah, I know. We're like, we're choosing Arkansas and Nebraska. We love your Arkansas and Nebraska.
But just the idea, you know, sparsely populated, you know, places. People think they're the only one, but they never are. Just like you're never the only queer person in your town. Yeah. You just can't see it. Part of it can be putting down your flag first. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you put your slut flag down first or your queer flag, whatever your flag or flags are, there are so many flags these days. I don't even know them all. but if you're waving it, people will come to you. The people who are like you will come to you because they didn't know there's anyone else either. And I'm like, well, I'm going to privately message them and be like, hey, look, you know, me too. I hope, please don't tell anybody but this. Or, you know, if you're the poly person in town, the other people who are will find you, or the people who are curious about, they're going to come ask you questions too. I get asked a lot of ethical non-monogamy questions because I'm very open about how I live my lifestyle. So I get a lot of people that I'd be surprised by, but who hit me up and are like, hey, I think I might be into men, and like my girlfriend wants to watch me get fucked by a guy. Mm-hmm. Can we like talk about it? I'm like, all right. Yeah. Because they don't know who else is safe to talk to about it. So if you're in like that type of area, you don't know. Craigslist used to be a thing. It's not. But Reddit, a lot of that has transferred to Reddit.
Oh.
So I recommend Reddit. I know Reddit seems scary and there's a lot of shitty people there. There's also a lot of great people there. A lot of hot people
there. But that speaks to the world. You know, there's a lot of shitty people and a lot of great people too.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And I think it's not just like people you wouldn't be attracted. There's plenty of people who are attractive on there.
It's also nice to normalize and then have an ally. I feel like you're not alone, because that's the thing that always comes up when you're in the realm of sex. When you're in the industry of sex, it's like, oh, I'm not this weirdo in this small town where I'm living by myself with these fantasies or with this dream or idea of what I'd like to experience. There's other people just like me. And so having someone and maybe making that apparent is the first step, which is great.
Well, I was also going to say Reddit's one spot, and depending where you are, there might be certain subreddits. But there's also FetLife, of course. FetLife's a great place. If you can find a local munch.
It's more like poly.
Local munch?
Kinky folk.
Yeah. It's a non-sexual, kinkster meetup.
Do they meet at, Denny's a lot and things like that?
Yeah. No, those go, to a diner or a bar.
Meet and greet.
It's a specifically non-sexual event.
Yeah.
And even if you're not kinky, I say go, because they know where the party you probably want is, you know? So even if you don't want the BDSM party, you want the party where you want a sex positive party that, you know, is more of a play party than kink party. The kinksters know where it is.
Yeah.
So go and get to make friends there. And then as you meet more people in that scene, you will get invited to more things. Or you'll learn about more things. Mm-hmm. You might have to make a 2 or 3 hour drive to get to a party once a month, but there will be a party. And FetLife and Reddit are good places for that.
What about Meetup? Meetup.com. Mm-hmm. It's a little PG, right? Like, it's not really...
I haven't used it, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were munches on there.
Yeah.
Or if you can look for sex positive or poly meetups.
There's tantra stuff on there I've seen before, yeah.
Poly stuff. You can also find, a poly tribe vaguely in your county. Poly people are not all slutty. Mm-hmm. Not all slutty people are poly, but there's a lot of overlap. And even the poly people who don't go to play parties themselves... They know a chunk of them will know of one, or they know a friend that they could recommend you to.
I get asked about polyamory probably a few times a month because of our work, and I know a lot about what it looks like. I'm not a poly human, and you are. How long have you been a polyamorous partnership? Or partnerships.
Yeah. I've only just started calling myself, like, I always call myself ethically non-monogamous. It's a nice, easy, loose umbrella term. Poly, I've been hesitant because I've never had two girlfriends at the same time. But right now, I've been dating my girlfriend for 7 months, and she lives with her boyfriend of, like, 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I am in a poly relationship, however I want to look at it. But I've been ethically non-monogamous and identified that way before I even knew that that was a term.
Yeah.
When I was like 19, I almost, my first girlfriend ever, we almost got into a fight. Well, we got into a fight and we almost broke up over the movie Definitely Maybe.
Well, oh, I feel like
I never remember.
That's your
Ryan Reynolds, a baby
favorite tag. Definitely Maybe.
Oh my god!
Like, you're gonna do that? Definitely Maybe. Well, yeah. I'm like, damn it! Jeez, I didn't know that was a film.
You're like, that's a no.
Basically, it's a movie where like Ryan Reynolds is telling Abigail Breslin how he met her mother. Very original concept. And there's three women in his romantic life story, and I noticed when I was, you know, 18, 19, he's in love with these three women in his life, and the loves at least a little bit overlap, if not really overlap at times. So I'm like, I left the movie being like, oh, that was interesting. And I didn't know about like non-monogamy and stuff. And I just said to my ex, I was like, hey, and it was real interesting. It was almost as if like if you can be in love with more than one person over the course of your life, why is it impossible that those times could overlap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She freaked.
Yeah. Oh.
She thought I was proposing. Like, she thought maybe I wanted that. And at times, I was like, no, I know. I just think that's interesting. I'm observing. I'm thinking about how love works in general. And, like, we almost broke up in this cab on our way back to Tufts. And luckily, you know, we survived the whatever. But that was the first time I even really started to think about how love works, how I think love can work. And, my show started because women would sleep with me, but they wouldn't date me. And I wanted to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was 24, I started trying to explore that. And I think a lot of times a lot of women wrote me off because I was vocal that I don't think monogamy was for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't mean I didn't want to be serious. I wanted love and seriousness and commitment and cuddles and all that. And exchanging grossly cute presents on Valentine's Day. I want and love all of that. And I like having sex with different people.
Yeah.
And I think that freaked people out, especially back then. I mean, we're talking like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Still, so people want the security.
I'm 30 now. But like when I was like 19 was when I first thinking about it. And then I started like kind of verbalizing it when I was like 22. And then I read The Ethical Slut. And then I started obtaining more language to use. I was
sex
like, oh, there's
you do sex at dawn and all that business to you.
You know, I worked real hard, but I got through it.
Yeah.
It's a very dense
motherfucker.
Yeah. Scientific.
First 100 pages, I'm like, I don't know about this. And then after that, I'm like, oh, my God, yes.
It's like any Lisbeth Salander novel. It's like 100 pages, like lame. 103, then someone gets murdered. And I'm like, I'll give this a shot.
Like, now you're speaking my language.
I think that's the thing about what I want. I encourage people to think about, too. It's what's worse, right? Having this open relationship concept where you're actually honest with the partners involved and you're all in this agreement, whether it's verbal or contractual or however that looks, or to be in this open relationship and lie to the people that you love, where you're doing that out of integrity and you're not actually being real and 100%, I think, in integrity. And I think that if you are feeling that non-monogamy is part of your journey, like, encourage you to do that, but do it with this ethical approach. And I know that's hard for a lot of people because we live in the constricts and the confinement of what our traditional Western, especially, partnerships look like. And it's not necessarily how we are supposed to be.
Well, and I think this podcast highlights all the variations that are available for you. Like, there's traditional monogamy and we only fuck each other for the rest of our lives, or just for 3 years while we're together and then we break up and we fuck other people. But there's also swinging, you know, like partner swapping. There's going to group sex environments and maybe not even touching other bodies. There's going to group sex environments, maybe just kissing people or snuggling. And like, there's so many variations. And I think people get stuck on it needing to happen one way when really, like, if you open up the doors for it and kind of take into consideration, who are we as sexual beings in this partnership, or when maybe you have multiple partners or whatever, what fits us, you know, and what fits us today might be different than tomorrow.
Make your own rules. I think that's the thing. It's, I just want people to know they can make their own rules, and the rules are whatever you like. Fuck all the labels. Yeah. Just what do you want to do? What like really lay it out. Do you not, like, is anal sex, like, just for you two because mm-hmm. it's your special thing? All right, that can be a rule. That can be, it can be yeah. whatever the fuck yeah. you want. Can you only fuck other people on Thursdays? Go for
yeah,
it.
Knock yourself
whatever
out.
Rule you want. Like, it's all customizable. Mm-hmm. And I just want, like, and if monogamy is what you choose, that's great. Just choose it. Don't default into it, you know. Yeah. And I
the think lying is what really it. Just gets me sometimes when people get stuck into that stuff where you're if you get caught or you with someone that you really care about and you love so much and then they end up finding out that you're doing this cheating, which is what I did. And I'm speaking from yeah. an experience yeah. yeah, an experiential place where I did that and it felt shitty every day knowing that I was lying to this person that I cared
Why did you lie?
Because for several reasons. I wasn't dealing with the parts of my relationship that I wasn't dealing with the parts of myself, first of all, that I really needed to address and deal with. Things that I had been really hiding and scared to talk about. And my vulnerability was limited because I'd always put up this huge wall about I'm this strong, secure human. And really, I had all of these cracks and these things that I wasn't addressing. And then it went into someone that helped me feel safe and secure within this strong woman that I thought that I was. And my partner felt more of this weight. And so I started to feel this love from this person that and not love like I was in love with, but this love for myself that I hadn't experienced because I was such a caretaker for my actual partnership.
Did you still love your ex-husband?
Immensely. I still love him. He was awesome and amazing. He was at that point, and it hurts me to say, but he almost became this like burden for me where because I didn't talk to him about the stuff that I felt about him because I didn't want to hurt him and I didn't want him to feel the pain. But in retrospect, and you know, it's like looking back, I wish that I had had these conversations to be like, hey, it was almost too late at that point. And then I went out of my relationship and lied. And then I was lying. And then I was doing really fucked up stuff to hide the lies. And then I was still doing it. And then it felt like taboo and crazy. And I was getting off on the adrenaline involved with covering up my shit.
And did you ever think, like, what if I just went to him and said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I've met someone and I am falling in love with this person too mm-hmm. because it's not a finite resource. And I'd like to see, is there a way that we can make that work?
It would have been too complicated at that time because it was one of his friends. It was someone that was very close in my life. That it was just someone that I probably was also involved with someone. It was just something that, but yes, that would have been it.
But your circumstance was different though, because you're also speaking to, there was a lot of shit missing in this relationship that you were ignoring. That's the stuff that she's ignoring, right? Like you were burying it, you putting it under the rug.
Yeah.
She also has a thing about, I know her well, and she has a thing about pride. She's very prideful. Yeah. You don't want the world to think you failed. I'm just going to add laughter into this. So a delivery human came to the door and we kept recording and blah, 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 blah. It's going to be an interesting transition because we actually transitioned to something really interesting. And so it might sound a little clunky, but here you go.
That's the other thing they'll do at the consent workshops is they actually will do some icebreakers to make you practice saying no.
Yeah.
Because like we just want to say yes. And so like you're going to go up to someone and you're going to ask for, like, get a partner. And now you're going to ask to do an action, whether it's a hug, kiss, whatever. Just ask for a hug. And another person, you are going to say no.
Yeah.
And then you'll reverse, and then they'll reverse it with, like, now you can say yes or no, but, like,
deep anal fisting.
They make people say that. And they say if someone says no to something you propose, just say, thank you for taking care of yourself. Yeah. Because that's someone, owning and maintaining their boundaries, which is helpful for them, it's helpful for you, and it's helpful for the whole party, because now we have an environment where we are at least trying to trust that everyone's going to speak up for themselves, because we're not mind readers, mm-hmm. certainly not when there's 100 people in the house. So we need to be able to trust that when we ask someone, do you want to have sex? Someone's not going to nervously say yes. And then, you know, the next day be really upset about having sex with someone.
Yeah.
We don't want someone to be like, well, I know I didn't want to be rude, so I sucked his dick. Like, we want to prevent those things.
But that's so true. People have such a problem saying no, RSVPing no, any of that stuff. It's really hard. I feel like you, Amy, have taught me so much about saying no and creating boundaries. And that's such a great point, yeah. Billy. I love that because we all need to practice saying no in general. I love saying yes, call myself the yes person for so long, but we really need to practice saying no more often. No, not only to your boundaries in sex and relationships, but also saying no to things in life that you really don't want to do. Oh, I don't really feel like going out to this dinner tonight, but I'm going to because I said yes.
People pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caretaking and people pleasing. Is, yeah, compliancy, tolerating.
Compliancy,
instead of,
yeah.
It's big. Yeah, compliancy culture.
I'm naked already with this person. I don't really having sex. I might as well.
They expected this.
Yeah.
They expected to get laid. They didn't expect to only get oral, so I might as well do, you know, and it's bullshit. You know, you get to do whatever you want to do. And also, I just want to extend this out there because it doesn't get said often. So I'm not saying this as if there's a men's rights angle. I'm just, it's just, I've been getting guys who've been sharing this in emails to me, but it's like, guys, you're allowed to say no too. Fun fact, you do not have to, just because you have a dick, whoever you may be, but if you're a dude with a dick, like, you are not required to fuck everything that consents to it with you or that wants to.
Yeah.
You're allowed to not want sex as well. You're allowed to not have, you're allowed to not have a high libido. You're allowed to not like blowjobs. You're allowed to not like anything. You're allowed to not want to do anything too.
You're also allowed to have sex and not have an orgasm.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a big one too. That there's like, there's something wrong with it. They don't. And then they, like, I've met men faking orgasms too. And like, people don't think, but they're like, oh yeah, no, I faked that shit.
I faked it.
Yeah. That's happened.
Totally, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's happened
to me. There's the pressure. Like, you're not men enough.
Well, you don't like me. That's bullshit.
And I mean, I've had women straight up yell at me in bed because I wouldn't fuck them. Because there's an expectation that
it's violence.
Well, that's a dick. And clearly, if I've gotten it into the bedroom, it will do whatever I say.
Yeah, totally.
And no. I had someone who was like, I was eating her pussy. And then she's like, oh, I want to fuck. I'm like, actually, you know, I don't know if I want to do that tonight, but like totally maybe next time. And she like got and like raised her voice. Because, you know, and so I don't know. I just wanted to toss that out there.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, like, own your nose.
Yeah.
Also, because no one's going to read your mind. So
I love that. I think we need to wrap it up. I think that's a great way to a great note to end on. But also, because people want to hire you to do their scene. How do they find your podcast? What's your website? What are your offerings? How can people support you? I just want to say that I absolutely think that you're fucking awesome.
You're rad. You're so good.
I was like, okay, man whore. You know, I don't really know that much about him. And then
we laughed
like,
about the name too. We met you at Sex Expo though, and so I knew who you were, and you had met, and I met your mom.
My mom had a lot of fun at the sex.
Your mom came up to me and was like, "You need to go meet my son Billy. Go over and meet my son Billy." I was like, "Where's your son Billy?" And then she's like, "The Man Whore Podcast." I was like, "I like this already."
I did not know that. She had a lot of fun at the Motor Bunny booth. Jesus.
Sex machine?
Yeah.
I love your mom. Right.
I loved her.
And also, like, hey, I know what my face looks like, so I understand when there's skepticism.
No, it was like I had heard the name before, and when you came up, I actually thought you were really nice, but I just don't, and
it
I
was great.
Have listened to one or two of your episodes, and I
listened to him on Private Parts Unknown.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was great. And I think that I just love, you're kind of like just shameless sex from a man's perspective, where there's like this shamelessness there and there's a playfulness. And I know you bring in educators and things, and you're educated as well. And so I just love that.
I'm educated. I just want to make sure everyone knows I am not an educator.
Yeah, I'm just
a comedian with a fuck show.
No, you are an educator though.
Yeah,
and you may not have specific certifications. However, you are an educator. And I think that we all, in a sense, you're living it. You're living the education piece because you are doing things with integrity and with ethics.
The pieces that you shared about like making your own rules and consent and those are educational pieces. Like maybe you didn't get a degree in those, but those are.
I just want to make sure I have elevated you properly to be like, no, just I want to make sure we all know there's a difference.
Come on, you have a PhD in dick.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You've got a PhD in gangbang.
Yeah.
So if you want, I don't know, if you want to hire me to put together a fun fantasy for you, you know, shoot me an email and I'll give you a quote. You can find that by just hit me up on social media. I'm on Instagram at Billy is Presida. I'm on Twitter at Billy, the Billy Presida. You just search Billy Presida, Procida. I pop up. Mm-hmm. If you see an old guy in a suit, that's my dad. Wrong account.
Can you hit him up too?
Billy Jr.?
Yes, I am. Okay. Billy Jr. Oh. He didn't know there was going to be Google, so but wait, that's still his fault.
If they email your dad and about the gangbang, his dad
he pass
mad
it along?
I hope he would just forward it to me. Okay. I think he'd have to ask the secretary, like,
who knows how many he's actually
got. Forward thing. Which button? Somebody wants Billy for the gangbang stuff.
Again.
Yeah, I know. He just lives his life. It's kind of cool, but like a little weird. You know, and then I host the Man Whore podcast, which you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts, where you listen to Shameless Sex, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places. Just search the word Man Whore, one word, and I pop right up. So, follow me on social, say hi, listen to the Man Whore podcast, pay me money to make fun, sexy things happen.
Yeah.
Keep Wait. Listening to these ladies, of course.
Totally. I absolutely love you. Do you know about Margins Wine?
Say what?
Margins
we're drinking
wine?
Right now.
We're drinking Margins Wine.
I do not. Do you
it's
want to tell me
lovely.
About it?
Margins Wine is one of our lovely, amazing sponsors, and she is local Santa Cruz human, Megan Bell, young winemaker, and she makes about like less than 1,000 cases a year of wine and underdeveloped regions, underdeveloped varietals, and takes them and makes beautiful wines that are, well, as low sulfites as possible, and hand-picked grapes, all of it. And I just want to give a shout-out to Megan for making beautiful wine. And now you know about Margins Wine. Go to marginswine.com if you're out there and get on the mailing list, because she only does 2 releases a year, and you could get a bottle.
And if you look in the show notes, there's a discount.
Yeah, there is. There is a discount.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, I absolutely love you. Are you going to be at Sex Expo this year?
I will physically be there. I'm still figuring out if it's worth having a booth.
Ooh.
Maybe you can come hang out on our booth.
Yeah.
Come hang out with
that.
Us.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be an emceeing, but
we need help in our booth.
From what I know, I think they will have me MC every year. She's
You're
like,
pretty
we
good
want
at
you
it.
Every year. I'm like, oh God. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
She but nailed it.
It's yeah. Anyway, we loved having you.
Yeah,
and you're anytime you're in me. California and not getting your windows broken in San Francisco. Come hang out with us and record, and we could talk about all the things. You have so much wonderful information to offer the world.
We'll do it again in September when we're in New York.
Yeah. And to all of our listeners out there, you shameless sex revolutionary, we love you. Go ahead. Go on iTunes. Try it. Give us 5 stars. We will absolutely read your feedback and your 5-star review because we love you. We'll see you next Tuesday, y'all. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.